Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski. An over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Bucks are back, and they're 2-0. They win in Philadelphia, a game that comes down to the wire. Some excitement there, and then they stomp the Houston Rockets at home, the home opener. Milwaukee starting the season right. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Point Forward podcast, and on the other line is Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Jim, I think we should just, we'll start with Giannis. He had 44 points on in that second game against the Houston Rockets. He is a bad, bad man. I think we saw that the, I think we saw the take foul thing is already coming into play, that he is probably a little more unstoppable than he was before. So coming off of Eurobasket, you know, where he was very busy and we weren't sure exactly how many minutes he'd get. He's still probably, you know, he's not at full capacity. He said as much after the Philadelphia game. This isn't necessarily his best basketball. But then he goes out and shows us exactly, you know, how dominant he can be and why the city of Milwaukee is in love with him. So just early impressions of Giannis Antetokounmpo. I have a feeling it's a pretty big reason why the Bucks are 2-0.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, yeah, after Philadelphia, he said, you know, there's another level to my game and not where I want to be. And, you know, he said, well, just because I scored 44 points against Houston doesn't mean, you know, I found that in a matter of days. He's not really elaborating what that means. So I guess I'm going to be curious when he decides to proclaim I've found myself, right? I don't know. And I don't even know if he will. But you're right. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the Eurobasket. So Mike Budenholzer seemed a little upset with himself that he played Giannis 36 minutes in the opener. And maybe didn't manage that the right way, where the Bucks had the game in hand. James Harden scored 16 of his 31 in the fourth quarter and bring it all the way back. Giannis was off the floor for some of that. And Bud was kind of like, maybe some bad coaching in there. Houston, I mean, look, they may be very exciting in the next couple of years. But as of right now, I mean, they've got nothing for Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, Jabari Smith Jr., 2 fouls in the first quarter. I mean, nothing. And so what was interesting, JR, though, 28 points in the paint. You mentioned the take foul, a lot of transition buckets. But Mike Budenholzer pointed out that he thought the way Giannis stepped into his couple three-pointers he made, and a jumper, one of the few times he had to, you know, couldn't get to the rim or didn't get to the rim. So and he didn't really make all of his free throws. He kind of had a bad off night from the free throw line. He might have flirted with 50, JR. He doing Giannis things. And it's one of those things where I think, you know, 30 career 40-point games, like when the great players kind of do great things, it can get, I don't want to say lost, but, you know, 44 points in 28 minutes is pretty special. And if Giannis is not where he wants to be yet, that's a heck of a way to sort of not be where you want to be, right?
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned Jabari Smith's fouls. I mean, they just don't have the size. They had basically two big men, and without one of them already, they were, you know, they just weren't gonna match up. And Giannis with the free throw line now passed Sidney Moncrief for most free throws made in Bucks history. I mean, he needed a few more opportunities, but one of those career goals you knew he was gonna get, and he got it. So there'll be a lot more to follow as he chases. Again, I've written this before, but it's not going to happen this year, but he could very easily lead the Bucks in all five stat categories by the time his career is done. And, you know, I think it's safe to say he probably should. He already has blocks and points. He's going to get rebounds eventually. Assists and steals, less certain, but seemingly we'll get there as well. So just one more feather in his cap. Defense, interesting, you know, that was the concern coming into the year. Do they have the defense, especially they're short on wing players? We've noted Pat Connaughton and Chris Middleton are not available here to start the year for the first couple weeks. And defensively, they were working on some new things. They did not win a game in the preseason as they tried to adjust to this. And I mean, I feel like it was really good. I mean, the three-point shot wasn't there for the 76ers, which is the tougher of the two opponents that they saw this last week. A lot of block shots still. Brook Lopez, you know, 5 block shots, pretty impressive. As we were talking last week about whether or not Brook Lopez would still figure into the grand plan here once they finally get their defense where they want it. Obviously, he's still a phenomenal rim protector. And, you know, late in that game, the 76ers, what, they get like 2 shots in the last, like, 146? You know, Drew Holiday, a menace. And And, you know, that just tells me that they are locked in defensively. What did you see on that end of the floor? Do you see areas where they can still sort of improve, or are they further along than you thought they might be?
I definitely think they were a little further along in game one, and largely because, you know, and it was Drew Holiday on James Harden, you know, and I think Drew brings himself to that level, you know, against those kind of players. And, you know, they didn't want James Harden taking step back threes. And so I don't know, the guys weren't going to admit that they maybe let him get into the 2-point area where even if he did step back, it wasn't going to be a three. You know, they for sure were funneling the Giannis and Brooke in the middle. And that's the whole point of this, was the contested twos. Like, you'd rather have James Harden hit 8 2-point shots than 4 threes, you know, and have to change the game in that way. And yeah, the Bucks, JR, they didn't shoot it really well in that first game, but they made a couple more threes than the 76ers, and go figure, they win the game, right? Now Houston, less experience, so they were putting up some threes that rather indiscriminately. So yes, the Rockets ended up having a much better percentage, and on paper, you know, maybe Bucks fans say, oh, look, there's another team putting up X amount of threes. But in the first half, you know, when you, I guess the game was sort of in doubt, if you will, in doubt's not the right phrase, but sort of a competitive game. I mean, the Rockets 7 of 20 or something like that. So, I mean, it was not a, they were not doing very well either, JR. So I think the stuff they worked on, they've been able to apply out of the gates. Now we'll see over the next 80, of course, and there are going to be hiccups. They are going to play Golden State, and no matter what the Bucks do, the Golden State Warriors still might hit 24 threes, right? Like, so it's not an indictment one way or the other, but I think the fact that they were able to apply it, Brooke Lopez has looked spry, has looked strong, you know, 7-8 blocks in two games. I mean, that's, can he keep that pace up? I don't know. But if that's the plan, it's obviously worked at the very, very outset of the season.
Yeah. Brooke Lopez, as people will recall, played in the opener last year and then was gone after that. He played one game before this back issue that cost him the vast majority of last season. So, it's a little different to have Brooke Lopez fully available this season and looking pretty spry, the big man looking good here early on. And speaking of spry old 30-year-olds, I hesitate to say that. All these people are younger than me, but Wesley Matthews, it's been around forever, and he hits the big shot. It wasn't even clear if Wesley Matthews would be fully healthy to start the season, and then there he is in the opener hitting the big, big basket. You mentioned that the Bucks hit a couple more threes. Well, that was one of them late in the game with the Bucks behind after the 76ers had rallied back to take a late lead. Wesley Matthews hits the shot. Give me your impressions of that moment and what Wes had to say after the game.
Yeah, it wasn't, I mean, Wesley Matthews hitting an open three isn't that surprising, right? Like, that's sort of what he's there for. I think what set it up though was really interesting, and it's Giannis Antetokounmpo being a screener, you know, and creating space with his body in a way, maybe a little differently than we've seen, and sort of a commitment, at least in that first game, to be that guy to set up his teammates. Grayson Allen turns the corner and is able to get into the lane and sees, you know, he said he saw three defenders. Wesley Matthews had no one around him, right? And then he made the smart play and kicked it out, and there you go. And you know, in that first game, Giannis started 5 for 5. I think he ended like 7 for 16. Didn't really finish strongly, but again, you know, he's a big guy. And to be able to set screens and then roll off of that, and again, that's just additional spacing he creates for everybody, and that half step of a defender really set all of that up. And you know, we, in the preview podcast, JR, what do we talk about? These perimeter players having a desire and understanding to get to the basket. And it doesn't mean scoring there. It's just the body blow of doing it. Wes Matthews said that after the game. He's like, look, yeah, if Grayson, Drew, Javon, myself, whatever, go to the rim or make the drives, you know, where it's not always catch and shoot, that creates an opportunity later, you know. And I guess if you're into football, you'd say it's, you know, run it, run it, run it. And then finally that play action works, right? So I think that's what that last play was in Philly, was a result of Grayson Allen and those guys putting the ball on the floor, challenging Joel Embiid or the 76ers bigs, and making the defenders sort of honor that by having to move. Wes moved off that, and he said, look, you know, he hadn't, I think, taken a shot in like a quarter and a half. So if anything, that's the benefit, JR, of a veteran team where the confidence never goes away, even if they haven't actually taken a shot or made a basket in however long it had been, right? You know, so, you know, you're not like that younger player who's like, well, I need some reps, I need some rhythm. It's, no, Wes Matthews has been there, done that, and adds another game winner to his resume.
Yeah, and the Bucks win even with James Harden having a pretty decent game. Or I mean, he was not pretty decent. He was very good. Joel Embiid, though, no points in the second half. Hard to imagine that. So, and a win that might actually come to pay dividends, because again, that could be a team that's competing with them at the end of the year if a tiebreaker comes into play or anything like that. Those are two teams that are East contenders in a pretty loaded Eastern Conference. Interesting start to the 76ers game with Javon Carter in the starting lineup. You know, I think we probably wondered who would start in place of Middleton, and maybe Connaughton even is the guy who would normally do that, but with him being out as well, Carter is a guy who's, I guess already we can imagine that his role will be increased. We kind of knew that from the preseason as well. Was it surprising to you that Javon Carter was the guy in that starting five, and how do you think he did?
Yeah, Mike Budenholzer perhaps hinted at this by saying Javon Carter earned a bigger role through his play in the preseason and training camp. Did we know it would be a starting role? Maybe not, because you're right. If Pat Connaughton's healthy, maybe he's in that spot, right? Maybe not, though. I mean, Mike Budenholzer likes defense. Javon Carter is going to bring that, even that, you know, if he's quote-unquote undersized, depending on who he's matched up against. And, you know, the offense wasn't quite there against Houston, but two knockdown buckets against the 76ers, that's sort of what's needed, you know, again, that sort of fifth option on offense, 5 to 9 points, you know, maybe the occasional double digit, that's going to be just fine. And, you know, Bud doesn't really like to give out, well, first of all, insist on not telling us the starters before games. But he did allow for the fact that he's not someone who does like a game-to-game matchup scenario. So I think Javon Carter's probably going to be the guy, you know, until these other guys come back. I mean, maybe, I don't even know where Cleveland is on the schedule right now, JR, but like if there's a team that's just massive, you know, where they think maybe Bobby, you know, you're over like a super big starting group. But at the end of the day, who starts, who finishes? Right. Wesley Matthews is the one that finished. Right. So but Javon Carter's earned it. And I'm curious to see, you know, if he's in this sort of not just a starting role, but a big minutes role in the early going when everyone else comes back. Like, does he still have to play? Does he still have to shoot 50%, which seems untenable? Or is it all defense based? Like, that's where I'm curious to see where he's like sort of, you know, what spot he's earned in Bud's world in that way. But that's questions down the line. I think for now, though, it's a good fit, and it gives the bench some stability with Matthews, Hill, Portis, you know, considering the rest of everything else is so much in flux.
Well, and Jordan Nwora, too, who is now a defensive stopper after the Rockets game, right?
I don't know if he's a stopper, but yeah, I mean, hey, look, if he's going to throw his body around, I mean, I think that's what Mike Budenholzer wants to see.
Yeah, that was great. He made the most of his minutes there. By the way, the Cavaliers on the schedule November 16th in Milwaukee, so not too far away. Will they see Cleveland? They first, of course, have the Nets at home on Wednesday, the Knicks, the Hawks, and the Pistons. A really long homestand here. Six games of home basketball before they go back on the road. And that's the Pistons twice, I believe, right, before they go to Minnesota. So even when they leave, they won't be going too far away. But we'll get back to a little bit to just any observations you had, any stray observations. But there is also this report, I think it was The Athletic that first said it, that the Bucks were having conversations with the Suns for Jay Crowder, who, of course, is a Marquette University guy. The Bucks are very familiar with him. They saw him when he was in Miami. He tore them up in the playoffs, in the bubble playoffs, as many people will recall. Of course, they saw him in the NBA Finals in 2021. They cannot escape his orbit, it seems. He'd be an interesting fit. I don't know how serious those are. But I don't know. Like, that seems like a pretty good match. What is your take on maybe the connection between Crowder and the Bucks?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I don't know if this is something that's, I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe he's in Milwaukee by the end of the week. Maybe it's something that happens at when the calendar turns. It makes sense on paper in the sense that Jay Crowder, 6'6", 230 pounds, defensive mindset, played on some winning teams, obviously, as you just mentioned. Kind of has that sort of defensive, intangible kind of thing that fits here. Has been an off and on again starter, bench player. Feels like, you know, he would fit, although the Bucks would be his eighth team in 11 years, and you know, whatever that means. And the reason he's not part of the mix in Phoenix, as far as we understand, is he didn't quite appreciate being benched this year in favor of Cam Johnson. So I, you know, does he just want to change the scenery, or is not starting a problem? I think maybe that's part of the vetting process here. But I don't know, JR. Like, money aside, let's forget the money and the stuff. He's not a scorer. And I don't know. I mean, what? Yes, the Bucks are good defensively. Does he make them that so much better defensively that you would give up who you'd have to give up, meaning Grayson Allen? Or if you wait further down the line, it's you're going to have to put together like a Hill, a Wara, you know, Matthews or some, like you know, to make the money work. It just seems like it doesn't make a lot of sense on the surface. Like, it does, but it doesn't once you actually get into the nitty gritty of what it would take to get him here.
Yeah, I'm basically hearing you say it's unlikely, right? I mean, most of these things that are when they've been talked about for several days in a row, I always feel like, yeah, either there's actual fire or just, you know, if it's smoke for this long, it's just smoke. That's what I usually chalk it up.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like, you know, the PJ Tucker stuff was smoke for forever, right? Like, it was PJ, you know, he was linked to the Bucks, and then they finally made the deal in February. Now look. So Bucks fans are wondering, well, trade Wara, blah, blah, blah. Okay, real quick. Jordan Wara isn't eligible to be traded until middle of January by signing his deal at the EVA camp. The other guys, like the salary flotsam, if you will, to borrow a phrase, I forget which talking head uses that, but I like it. You know, like Portis, Connaughton, Javon Carter, Wesley Matthews, Serge Ibaka, all these guys, Joe Ingles. None of them can be traded until mid-December based on the timing of when they sign. So, like, if, JR, we are to record this pod, and then 3 days later the Bucks are going to make a trade, the only guys who can go outside of the big three and Brook Lopez are Grayson Allen, George Hill, Thanasis Adetokounmpo, and Marjan Beauchamp. The Suns are an over-the-tax team, so the, you know, they could do an Allen for Crowder straight up. The Bucks would take on a little more money. But the Suns also have like 15 contracts too. So you can't just say like, oh, send along players A, B, C, D, E. Like, the Suns don't have the roster spots for that. And they're a team that still wants to win. So it's not like they're going to shake up their whole, You know what I mean? So maybe there's a third or a fourth team, JR, that's got to get involved here. And this is something that it's like, okay, they're calling and they're talking about it, but maybe it's more viable once certain dates pass later, because it fits from like a 3-and-D perspective. It fits from a what the Bucks like with these fringe guys perspective. Fits from a salary perspective, and that Jay Crowder is going to expire after this year. You get more money off the books. But it's just a complicated kind of like roster spots and contracts that, and I personally, JR, I think it would be a mistake to move Grayson Allen for Jay Crowder, like straight up. Like that doesn't make sense to me. So not that it couldn't happen, but it doesn't make sense to me. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't dismiss it out of hand, but maybe it's something it's like, well, JR and Jim are talking about this again in mid-December and again in mid-January. And then Jay Crowder wanders back into Milwaukee after a Sweet 16 appearance, you know, a decade ago, sometime in February.
Yeah, with Wara being that you can't move him until January, that tells me at the very least it's going to be a few months. Because I feel like that has to be a piece of that puzzle.
You would think so.
Any other stray observations from these games? I guess one thing that jumped out to me was Giannis getting was that an unsportsmanlike? I admit I was on vacation, so I didn't get a lot of the granular details. Did he get an unsportsmanlike technical for a dainty little and one gesture? What is that about?
he was teed up for emphasizing his and one. And, you know, I had a league source let me know that technical was rescinded after the fact. So he is not that came across late last night. So yes, Giannis was being Giannis, being emotive and smiley and happy. Refs didn't like it, teed him up. But then I think upon further review, they realized he wasn't taunting. I think that was probably, I don't know the official that teed him up, because honestly, like after the play, I mean, it was so sort of benign that I didn't even, like, I looked down to make a note of the play, and then he was teed up. And so anyway, yeah, it was just, I think the refs realized he was not, like, taunting the Rockets player. He was just sort of enjoying himself with the fans, and so he's back to zero on the tech watch list.
Got it. Was it Kane Pittman who said he was just too sexy with his gesture and the refs didn't like it?
Yeah, for sure.
Come on. I mean, I don't like to openly advocate that star players should be treated differently. I don't think that's fair, but like your market, this is one of your like bell cows. You don't hit them with technicals for being fun and emotive, you know, like this isn't
right.
It wasn't whatever. Well, I'm glad they saw the error of their ways at the very least. And of course did not make a difference in a game that the Bucks won by 20 points. So 125-105, that was the win over Houston. And again, 90-88, they survive against Philadelphia and start the year 2-0. Any other thoughts before we move into our last segment here?
Longest homestand of the year. You know, I think it's important to say, JR, because the Bucks are going to be on the road a lot, like in December, later in the year. I know it's a long way away. But look, you know, might as well make some hay, you know, while you're these guys are hurt. I mean, maybe Pfizer form can give you a little bit of an advantage over some of these teams. I know Oklahoma City and I mean, Brooklyn's coming to town. I mean, it's some good teams, but, you know, might as well make a great start and get, you know, stack the wins now, because as we know from last year, JR, they matter just as much now as maybe, you know, resting everybody in game 82, you know, so maybe they can steal a couple, you know, game one in Philly, maybe against Brooklyn, against some of these other teams at our full strength, take advantage of that Pfizer form.
Yeah, we talked about how they might start out really slow and everybody would be hand-wringing because they didn't have Middleton and Connaughton, and they started out slow last year when they didn't have Lopez, and, you know, this might just be the way it is. But, well, now that they're 2-0, now we can just – let's just flip our expectations, and especially if they beat the Nets on Wednesday. Let's – you said no 55 wins. Heck, let's go 60. let's not really shift our expectations that high, but why not? All right, we're gonna rotate our segments this year. Last year, we kind of did the same things after each episode. It'll be a little different this year, but we're still gonna wait to unveil most of it. We're gonna close this week's episode with something familiar that everybody recalls from last year. It's a fun one. It is What's Making Jim Mad.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
I am very disappointed.
I'm upset. I'm upset!
Say it louder!
I'm upset!
That's my secret, Captain. I'm always angry.
What's making Jim mad?
All right, Jim. You haven't had a lot of time yet in the season to get mad about stuff, but I have faith in you. What's making you mad this week?
I mean, that, like, in the opening production there, JR, I mean, Bruce Banner, that's the secret. I'm always angry. And yeah, one of the things I enjoyed about not covering the NBA, JR, was that I was not part of NBA media. What I mean by that is this sort of circle of rumor and speculation and always looking a year or two or 4 years down the line about what could happen and who's what and this, that. And JR, like, after one game, it's, well, you know, these teams are going to wait till Thanksgiving to make trades because teams might start tanking for Victor Wembanyama after one game, after two games. Well, you know, certain players need to be benched here, certain players on hip. Like, I don't know why we do this. And I mean, the listener, look, hit me up on Twitter, hit JR up on Twitter, or at Jim Ozarski, at JR Radcliffe. Let me know. Maybe you like this. Maybe you like wondering, you know, who's going to tank for who when you got 80 games left in a season and whose contract matches up with whose and who can be available as a free agent to team up in 2 years. But I just couldn't believe that, like, after opening night, JR, you know, and I'm in Philadelphia, and yeah, they booed Joel Embiid. They did. And then they lose game two. And then Doc Rivers says, well, he's had some plantar fasciitis. And now it's, well, it's James Harden's team and Joel's done it. Like, look, man, I don't know. It's, I don't know if it's because here in Milwaukee, it's a drama-free team. I don't know if I personally don't like drama. I just don't like conjecture and speculation, I guess, to that degree, right? I mean, I know we just talked about Jay Crowder, but to me, that's like a real basketball thing as opposed to, you know, what we're going to deal with in a year with is like, well, Giannis's contract coming up, you know? So, like, I don't know. That's what made me mad. Like, I'm like, it's one game. Gee, I was trying to eat this chicken sandwich late in the hotel, trying to enjoy my chicken sandwich and watch some late West Coast basketball. And like, all this stuff is just like pounding my eyes and my ears. And I'm just like, yo, We just started. I don't know, man. That ruined my dinner in Philly. It ruined my dinner. And I know I got to get over it, but it did. It made me mad, man. That was not a fun. And I had to connect to Detroit. It was bad. Yeah.
Won't you let Jim eat his chicken sandwich in peace? I hear you. Victor Wembanyama is a shadow that's going to be cast across the league all year. We're going to be talking about it all year. I mean, the Lakers are 0-3, and now you got crazy scenarios where they find a way to tank for him. And I mean, Philly obviously now 0-3, but they're, you know, those teams are still going to be competitive. So they're not really in that discussion. But I mean, he's come up as much as any player. You know, he comes up on every, it seems like every broadcast he gets mentioned. He's just such a special talent. You know, maybe I don't imagine it's escapable. You know, Adam Silver talking about how he's going to find ways to prevent teams from tanking or at least watch it more closely. I don't even know what you're supposed to do here. This is
right.
You know, it could be a franchise changing situation for the Indiana Pacers or the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Sacramento Kings. You know, like, these are teams that would benefit greatly. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I just think we're going to be talking about it all year long. It's just it is an inescapable reality. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Yeah, dude, I get it. But like, after one game.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It was too much. It was just too much.
that's going to be a theme we'll talk about a lot. The Bucks will not be in the running for Victor Wembanyama.
No. No.
Because they're going to win 60 games. They're going to win 60 games, so. He is Jim Ozarski, Bucks reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. Lots from these first two games. He'll be there. Long break here between games two and three, but the Bucks will be back on the floor Wednesday against the Brooklyn Nets. What a an interesting start to the year with the Sixers and the Nets on the early schedule. And then again, four more games at Pfizer Forum before the Bucks return to the road out in Minnesota. Jim, thank you for joining us, man. We will chat with you again next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Hey, maybe you caught us on the game on Monday night. That's a cool spot we were at last year, and hopefully you find us there as well. That's a bit of a preview because the podcast doesn't come out till Tuesday morning, but you can hear us on late Monday night in the Milwaukee area on 97.3 The Game. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will chat with you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.